You know what powers every dream, Steve?
I've wondered for a long time.
Well, let me tell you. Payroll. Yeah, from your first paycheck to lifelong security, none of it happens without someone making sure you actually get paid. Wild, right, Lisa?
I don't know what that's like on here, but okay.
Just play along. Behind every payday, there's a professional who makes it happen. A real person, not some magical ATM fairy flinging 20s around. This September 15th to 19th, it's National Payroll Week. And the National Payroll Institute wants your stories. Maybe it's your first summer job, your maternity leave, or that glorious moment you got paid on time and didn't have to survive on instant noodles. Post your story with hashtag power of payroll and hashtag contest, tag at National Payroll Inst, just the National Payroll Institute, except, you know, their social handle. And you could win a $250 prepaid credit card. Plus, for every post with those hashtags, NPI, that's fancy talk, Steve, for National Payroll Institute, donate.
I thought it was the National Porpoise Institute.
No, you would think so. And they've had a lot of problems with branding because of that, but they're figuring it out. NPI donates $1 to Food Banks Canada, up to $25,000. Payroll power is more than just paychecks. It keeps the lights on, literally. Including.
And you know that that $25,000 will show up on time.
It'll show up on time to the penny. Exactly. As I was saying, payroll power is more than just paychecks. It keeps the lights on, literally, including the one over my head right now. That's a pretty good ad read, wasn't it? Hey, listen, you're watching like Andrew. Don't step over my line, Steve. Dear God. Hey, everyone. Thanks for watching and or listening to... where are we watching? Hey, everyone. Thanks for watching. Oh, God.
I've thrown him off.
I'm still thinking about this payroll fairy somewhere throwing 20s at me. So.
Oh, well, there isn't. That's an ATM fairy you're thinking of.
Oh, an ATM fairy. Sorry.
You got to listen more carefully next time. Yeah, I'll read it again at the end of the episode. It'll be fine.
That's how ATMs work, is there's a fairy inside who hands you cash. That's just science.
Nope. Not touching it. Hey, listen, thanks for watching or listening to Podcast is Broken, a weekly podcast in which we try to make Canadian news and politics a little bit funner. My name is Brittlestar.
My name is Steve Boots, and I maintain it's more fun.
My name is Lisa, and we're going to make it payroll-erific.
Oh, on brand. Company man. Team player. I like it.
I believe in payroll. Doing? I would like payroll.
I know. Right? Payroll's a good thing. Right? You know, it's funny because I did some work with payroll, the NPI, not the porpoise one, the payroll one, last year. And it would seem like initially it was like talking about getting paid on time. And it's like, how important is it to get paid on time? And everyone's like, yeah. But then you talk to people and they have stories about how they're not getting paid on time.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're not getting paid properly. They're late with their payments. It's not the proper deductions, all that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, I appreciate payroll.
Where was your first, where did you get your first paycheck from? Like, what was the gig?
Oh, that's a good, my first paycheck was from a proper job was from the sampler at the Stratford Mall, which was a lottery and cigar kiosk.
How old were you when you worked in the lottery cigar kiosk?
I was 17.
Back in the
day.
So
you could sell them but not buy them.
Yeah. And the first night that I worked at the lottery kiosk, someone won a Lincoln Town Car.
Wow.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Did they come back and thank you?
Oh, well, they just scratched the card at the counter.
Oh.
And won a Lincoln Town Car.
Okay, how did the person react to winning the Lincoln Town Car? Was it muted or were they like losing their mind?
I think I want to. Can you see what that says?
I can run a car service to the airport.
Yeah, I can.
And you had to validate.
Says you want a Lincoln Town Car.
Lisa, what was your first gig?
Trying to think.
Had you on a payroll? You see.
I delivered flyers when I was like 12, and I got paid that.
Well, we want first jobs.
Like real job, that was retail.
Well, that's okay.
Retail. Yeah.
I mean, I just said lottery and cigar kiosk.
No. I'm not minimizing retail. It's very important. Yeah. I enjoy retail.
Yeah.
yeah, but that would have been my first like go to work job. Not
Steve.
I was a sandwich artist.
Oh, yes. Not at Subway. He was just freelance.
Yeah, no, I did it like just at, you know, arts fairs and things like that.
just wagon with a bunch of meat and cheeses on
Yeah, I worked.
You
worked
were so upset when Subway came up with the sandwich artist thing. You're like, damn it, that's my thing.
I learned so many things about human nature in the time that I worked at Subway, because I worked there at the time when they switched from, it was called the U-gouge, when they like cut out the middle, to when they flipped to like the slicing it sideways. And I did not know how angry people could get about sandwiches until we changed the way we cut the bread. And it was like, you would think that you had just like sullied their reputation. They were so mad.
Explain to me the U-gouge. What is, I don't understand.
You do.
So they would, when you go to like a Subway or whatever, they cut the sandwich like along the side and just put the toppings in.
Yeah, okay.
They used to, it was called the U-gouge because it was shaped like a U. You just cut a line down both sides of the top of it and pulled out a strip of bread, put all the toppings inside, and then put the strip of bread back on top of it. In hindsight, it was dreadful, but people really, really wanted the U-gouge.
I feel like with the U-gouge, you could actually put less stuff in the sandwich than slicing it open. So like really stuff. Subway, you're spending more money than you need to. You should have just kept the U-gouge.
I'm still not understanding. They made, there was like a U-shaped utensil that stuck into the thing.
No,
you cut a strip with the knife on each side and then just sort of tore the bread apart. It didn't work very well and just... Yeah, it was a bizarre experience. It was also very fascinating to work at a Subway and see a bunch of people tell themselves, like, I'm having a healthy lunch, and then eat an entire loaf of bread.
So, yeah.
Right. Okay. And I'm sure this was a really long time ago, but what was, like, the weirdest sandwich combination? Can you remember something that you were like,
There why? Was one person who would come in and get a BLT with double meat. She came every day.
Okay.
Got a BLT with double meat and no L or T. Wow. And basically like a half a bottle of mayo.
Wow.
And it was just like, I don't know how you get through the rest of your day.
Did you send flowers
after
to the funeral?
Consuming your bacon mayo sandwich.
And then she just stopped coming in one day.
Yeah.
Send a bacon bouquet to the funeral home.
Yeah. And I don't know. She seemed to really like it. It was just like,
she smiled her way through the gout. It was fine.
Getting the Baconese sandwich.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry I asked the question.
That's the importance of getting paid. Look at that. Well, see, I think it was because Lisa was a team player, and then Steve jumped in as a team player. It's all happening.
We're just so topical.
Yay,
you're just
team.
Very topical.
Here to support the National Porpoise Institute.
Steve, my God. We went over this.
So when I was still teaching, we would have to do reading assessments. And one of the reading assessments included the word porpoise. And so you had a bunch of Saskatchewan kids who had no idea what a porpoise was, they would all say porpoise. And you're like,
wow,
fancy porpoise.
Wait, which kids wouldn't know about porpoises?
We don't have a lot of porpoises in Saskatchewan. So
I mean, there's not a lot in Southern Ontario either. I mean, our kids knew about porpoise.
How often have you discussed porpoise with your children?
We sat them down when they were young. We didn't want them finding out on the street.
Kids, I need you to understand there's something that's like a dolphin, but worse.
You're going to have to make your own choice in life, but...
You're going to think it's a dolphin, and then you're going to be so disappointed. Ah, it's just a porpoise. God.
I'm going to call it porpoise from now on. That's I love that.
Saskatchewan term for it. That's the name of Chapel Roan's next song, by the way, is Porpoise.
Porpoise.
Porpoise in Saskatoon.
Oh.
Speaking of Chapel Roan, Steve, have you been overwhelmed by people contacting you wanting to move to Saskatchewan?
So it's been very interesting because the provincial NDP wrote a letter, like an open letter to Chapel Roan being like, we think you're awesome. We're standing up for 2S LGBTQI plus rights. You should come to Saskatchewan and do a show. And then Scott Moe gave a statement that was basically like, yeah. Just like
Scott
on
Moe
board,
steps up
but
to the mic and he's like, I'm a big supporter
response.
Of the BLT movement.
I love the B is my favorite.
Just double B.
Well, he's mostly been focused on telling folks not to buy crypto from deepfakes of him.
That's right. He has been. Oh, God.
Saskatchewan politics is so weird, man.
Makes me feel better about Alberta.
Well, Let's jump into the first headline. We're going to play Make It Make Sense again because the game is a smash success. People are losing their minds online. People are running into the streets. It is quite something.
Are they doing
the
home version?
How long until we sell the home version?
Right? Yeah.
I've been working on the board game version of this for quite a while now, and I'm just waiting for a good piece of cardboard that's the right dimensions.
Just have it be one of those like ultra involved German board games where like you spend the first hour reading the manual.
It's like Risk, yeah, but
kids, sit down. We're playing taxes.
Wouldn't it be cute?
You need 75 victory points and 35 tokens.
I want the little mover guys to be like Steve and I. Anyway.
Well, that would be cute. Little sort of like Stuart. Funko Pop versions of you guys, exactly. But smaller.
That's just Stuart can just be a Monopoly thimble.
Well, there goes all the money from our ad read. It's gone into that. Let's do our first headline if we can. Owen, please zing up the first headline.
Make it make sense.
Ooh. Look at that. Wheat Kings of Kensington and Métis groups fasten their Kuzma seatbelts. So what happens in this game, I should tell people at home who are listening for the first time, is I will say a headline. The headline is comprised of three different news stories. It's up to Steve and Lisa to decide and to determine which those three news stories are. That was a very terrible way of saying it, but you know what I meant. And they get points. They get points indiscriminately and discriminately, both.
Would you say capriciously?
That's a negative one.
There we go.
Negative one for capricious action.
Know your role, Steve.
Here's the headline again. Are you guys ready? There's three news stories in this headline. I need you to tell me which three news stories make up this headline. Wheat Kings of Kensington and Métis groups fasten their Kuzma seatbelts. There's three news stories in there.
Wasn't Carney meeting with Métis groups?
Yes, you get a point, Lisa.
Oh, can I tag on, though?
No.
There's a second bit. Was it the Manitoba Métis Federation who said they weren't going to meet with them?
That's not part of the headline.
Let me rejoice in my capricious point, Steve.
I'm not so much mad as I am disappointed.
Well, that makes a bunch of us.
He's the guy at the party that's like, yeah, but.
Exactly. Actually.
Everybody loves being corrected.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I get invited to so many parties.
No, sweetie, everyone loves being corrected. You just be you.
You'll only ever see Steve at a party once.
No, I just hang out with the dogs and kids.
Aw. You are correct, though. At least you get the point for that. Prime Minister Mark Carney is scheduled to meet with three distinct Métis groups to discuss the federal government's major projects bill. The meeting includes representatives from the Métis Nation of Alberta, the Métis Nation of Saskatchewan, and the Métis Nation of Ontario. This is part of ongoing consultations regarding Indigenous rights and economic development. All part of the push from Carney and the Liberals to, Carney mainly, but the Liberals in tow, to do these massive infrastructure projects like pipelines and all that kind of stuff. So,
and to Steve's point, we'll give him a little, the Manitoba was not listed in that list, right? There you go.
Do you want me to give him a point,
half
Lisa?
Points?
Give him half point. 0.37.
That was a hell of a half point noise. That was pretty good.
Got a second story, though. I think I've got another part of the headline.
Oh, please.
Oh,
please.
Okay. We're not there
so
yet.
So the Kuzma thing was Dominic LeBlanc and Anita Anand going to Mexico to talk Kuzma with Claudia Sheinbaum, right?
That is, in fact, a story, but it's not the story of the headline. So I'm going to give you no points for that. There you go.
Are you going to jump it? Okay.
Well, so is it about how Kuzma is like holding the tariffs at bay?
Give you a half point for that. And now you've got a full point.
There you go.
It is about Kuzma. I'll give you that.
Let him.
But I mean, that's in the headline. So yeah. That's pretty obvious.
Oh, no.
Ontario Premier Doug Ford, you know that guy, right?
Doug.
Has issued a stark warning to Canadians regarding the upcoming renegotiation of the Kuzma trade deal. Saying the country should be prepared for a difficult process, he stated the U.S. President Donald Trump will, quote, come at us hard, end quote. And the renegotiations will not be a, quote, church picnic, end quote. The comments are made to reporters following a meeting with Prime Minister Mark Carney to discuss Canada's response to new U.S. tariffs. And according to CTV News, Ford told reporters, fasten your seatbelts, end quote. Actually, he said, quote, fasten your seatbelts, Kuzma or USMCA or whatever you want to call it. He is coming at us hard, end quote.
And then he went on to eat a whole bunch of bees and it terrified everybody.
What do we think about this? I mean, the one thing I hate when Doug Ford says stuff and I go, he's probably right. Because his whole thing is that he's saying that the Kuzma deal, of course, isn't up for renegotiation until next year. But that Trump could, again, another quote, Trump could, quote, pull the carpet out from underneath us, end quote, at any time. And I agree.
I appreciate your Doug Ford impression.
Thanks. It's more of an interpretive. It's how Doug makes you feel more than actually sounding like him. It's an emotional impression.
The only thing that I can think of Doug Ford saying is just folks. Folks, all the time.
Friends in a difficult time, folks.
Forget me nots.
Exactly. So, yeah, it is frustrating because he's right. Like, that was the same press conference where he talked about digging a tunnel for the 401. But, like, so.
Oh, that's still an ongoing thing. Right.
But, yeah, it sucks because, like, Kuzma is what's insulated us from most of.
Yeah.
The harms of the tariffs. The effective tariff rate is somewhere between 3 and 5%. It depends on who you ask. But in reality, like Canada is about 90% of the goods crossing the border are Kuzma compliant. So it's been shielded from that sort of stuff. I don't think like Trump is just constantly looking for excuses to pick fights at this point and try to draw attention away from everything.
See, I'm not surprised. Like I don't think that that's news in what Ford's saying. I think we should all understand that regardless of what was signed in the past, doesn't mean that he's not going to break it. Doesn't mean that he's not going to do whatever he wants to do with his piece of glass and gold. So I think part of the problem is, yes, we're worried about him and the states and what they're doing. I think we also need to bring it back to what we're doing, and try to figure out life without having the U.S. as a presence, because Mexico doesn't seem to care about us anymore either. So
yeah,
Sheinbaum was like, that's it. We don't care about Canada. We want what's good for you. And that's the problem with what's going on right now, is that because Starmer did the same thing. It's like, I get it. Everybody has to be focused on their own country. But it's like in middle school when like the bully is bullying somebody else and you're just happy that the bully's not bullying you. So you're just like, go there.
It's never going to blow back on
right
me.
No, exactly. No, yeah. The bully likes me. I'm okay.
Never come back to bite me in the ass. Yeah. It's so true. There was a fellow on CTV News Channel a couple of days ago that he was, I wish I remember who it was, but he had a blurred out background on Zoom. If you see him, you'll know. I don't know. Just trying to describe his background, but it's a blurred out, so I couldn't.
The guy with a blurred out background.
Yeah, that guy. He was saying that what Trump has been very successful in doing with the tariffs has been to essentially do exactly as Lisa said, is force these sort of bilateral agreements where everyone is opposed to getting together and saying, hey, listen, we all trade with the U.S. Why don't we just band together and work together against the U.S.? But everyone thinks they're going to come out of it ahead. As I keep saying now, is my favorite thing to say about anything, like when I see Tim Cook kneeling at the feet of Trump. It's like there's a never-ending line of suckers who think it's not going to happen to them. They're not going to get screwed over. And I hate that it's happening on a national level.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because Trump, known for abiding by deals, right?
Yeah, Mr. Rules.
that's him.
Integrity and all. Yep.
There's one more news story left in this headline. Oh. The headline, again, is Weak Kings of Kensington and Métis Groups Fasten Their Kuzma Seatbelts.
Gonna need a hint on the Wheat Kings of Kensington.
Okay. All right.
I like the Kings of Kensington, but I don't. Okay, go ahead.
Exactly. Multiple choice. A meeting of Canadian premiers to discuss a U.S. trade dispute was complicated by which provincial leaders' differing approaches? A. Ontario's Ford and Saskatchewan's Mo. B. Alberta's Smith and Nova Scotia's Houston. Or C. British Columbia's Eby and Quebec's Legault.
I'm gonna say A.
I'm going to say B.
Steve is correct. It is A. Good point for Steve.
That's what's up.
Anyone watching, that was Steve's legitimate response. Like, he is so happy.
So happy. I lost last week, and it has just been absolutely like...
It's hung over his head like a dark cloud.
Just tormenting me for a week.
Steve's wife's like, just enjoy the summer, sweetheart. And he's like, I can't.
I didn't get the points.
But like the nature of the podcast, people watch it as the week goes on. So I'll get a message randomly every couple of hours or days that it's just like, saw you lost. It's like,
wow.
I know.
Wow.
God, oh, yeah. Cruel. People love tormenting me. It's
thanks to everybody who DMs Steve reminding him that he lost.
We greatly appreciate your support.
That is win enough for me.
Exactly. You are correct on the multiple choice. The news story. You ready for the news story then?
Let's get it.
All right. Here we go. Canadian premiers and Prime Minister Mark Carney met to discuss a unified response to new U.S. tariffs. But Ontario's Doug Ford and Saskatchewan's Scott Moe are reportedly at odds. Ford is pushing for a retaliatory dollar-for-dollar tariff, or, quote, dollar-for-dollar, end quote, tariff.
Folks. Give me some bees.
dollar-for-bee tariff. While Moe is urging a more cautious approach, the new tariffs, which took effect August 1st, apply to goods not covered by the CUSMA Free Trade Agreement. Doug Ford said the quote, I get to quote more Doug Ford. This is fantastic this week. Quote, they understand strength, not weakness, and we should never, ever roll over and be weak. Premier Scott Moe has publicly advocated for a less aggressive, more diplomatic response to the trade dispute.
So there you go. My thinking on this has evolved a bit. I used to be like, tariff the hell out of them. Hell yeah.
Metrosexual.
Right? But like Canadians are the ones who pay those tariffs. Like when we apply counter tariffs, they're paid by Canadians. Mm-hmm. Will whatever counter tariffs we apply have a substantial impact on the U.S. economy? Unlikely. It's likely to have a bigger impact on ours. It's kind of cutting off our nose to spite our face. I've kind of warmed to the idea of dropping counter tariffs because they're not moving the needle and they're costing Canadians money.
Well, that's a really good point because I think that we're told repeatedly, and it certainly seems that tariffs are paid by the country in which that imposes them. So the U.S. People, the American people, are going to pay more for goods that have the tariffs applied to them. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right. There's almost a lot of logic to just being Canada and saying, there's no tariffs on anything. It's fine. Whatever.
Well, this is it. Is like, I used to be like, hell yeah, tariff the hell out of them. And then it's like, wait a second. There's some holes in this strategy. I never thought I'd see myself agreeing with Scott Moe, but he actually might have the right of it here.
I think we've all grown.
I don't know that you agree with him in its entirety, right? Because I think a lot of people don't understand how tariffs work. So yeah, it's not just a like, let's tariff them and it'll be fine. But I think we have to come to consensus. Like I know that like Doug wants to, you know, fight back and push and prove that he's like, you know, the man of Canada. Cause really that's why he talks all the time. Mm-hmm. but I feel like Mo just wants to roll over and pretend that if we're just nice to the US, they'll be nice back to us. And that's not going to happen. So I really think we just need to focus on like not sending stuff there. Like I think we need to figure out, which again, 50 years too late, figuring out how we can support our own economy with our own goods, right? But you know,
it's worth noting though, they're both in very different political situations right now. Like Doug Ford is angling for national conservative leadership. Like that's increasingly clear. Scott Moe is just trying to save his political hide. Like he's got a leadership review this fall and his position as leader is in some pretty considerable doubt.
Right. Right.
So he's just trying to placate the base.
I'm only laughing because I'm like, who are they going to pick to put in his place? I don't want to get into it.
Steve. Steve, he's running.
Noted Sask Party stalwart, Steve Boots, running for leader after a long...
This is all part of the plan. Get him out there.
Well, but like they're going to have the same problem that the conservatives are going to have if they boot Poiliev is there's a pretty short list of people who haven't been in absolute lockstep with the leader the whole way along.
Yeah.
So how does anybody differentiate themselves?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I don't know.
All right. Know. So all we right, each got a point. That's the,
yeah. Want to recap the points? No.
I was gonna say all my halves have to add up here. Don't they?
Well, Lisa has.
Carry the one.
One point. Steve has two with a minus one for using the word capricious at the beginning. So it's tie game currently.
Capricosity got me again.
It's always
going to
get
another
you.
Negative.
You do it to yourself, Boots.
So it's currently tied. No, it's not tied. Lisa's in the lead with one. Steve has managed to get on the board four times, but canceled himself out to zero.
Lisa, I really need you to start using thesaurus words as much as possible.
I just know when to use them, Steve.
That's right.
Just not capriciously is the key.
Oh, dear God. I'll take another point off. We'll let that one slide. It's just an explanation. Let's do headline number two, please.
Make it make sense.
There you go. Wow, look at that graphic. That's really great. Mexican kayak attempts a new gender policy. Again, the headline is Mexican kayak attempts a new gender policy.
Okay, I think I got the kayak one.
Okay, you take the kayak one. I'll do the other one.
The kayak one, is that the J.D. Vance getting the river level raised so he can go on a kayak trip?
No, it is not.
Is this the individual that tried to come into Canada illegally in a kayak?
Yes, it is. Well done. A man from U.S. caught trying to enter Canada by kayak. A man from the U.S. was apprehended by police in LaSalle, Ontario, after he was found attempting to illegally enter Canada in a kayak. Police say the officer made the unexpected discovery to an early morning patrol. The incident highlights the unique and sometimes bizarre ways people attempt to cross the border. As according to CBC News, the man was found on the shore of the Detroit River. The LaSalle police were alerted to the situation by a tip from a local resident. The man was taken into custody and his kayak was impounded by authorities. There you go. Good for you. It's a point for Lisa. It's exciting.
I'm just so exuberant because Steve is so
that's
mad.
It. Sorry.
Seething over here. Livid.
I'm taking a point off for exuberant.
That's fine. I don't care. since Steve went first the last time, I get to go for the next part. Do you want to read it again?
The headline again is Mexican kayak attempts a new gender policy.
Okay. I'm not going to be too cocky about this. Is this the whole Nexus program that you can't pick? You have either male or female. You can no longer pick other.
That is correct. Well done.
This is
wow. Listen to the cackle.
Because he's so mad.
Wow.
We are now enemies.
Okay, bring it
for those of you who can't see the video portion, you're just listening at home on the audio version of the podcast, there's blood coming out of Steve's nose.
Apologies for my cackle. But it's so exciting.
You are correct. The Canadian government has updated its policy for the Nexus Trusted Traveler program, removing the option to select X for gender. Previously, individuals could select X as a non-binary gender marker on their Nexus applications. Now only M and F are available options, which has sparked criticism from lawyers and civil rights advocates. According to the National Post, the change reverses a previous policy implemented to be more inclusive. Lawyers have raised alarms about the policy, with one stating it as a, quote, step backward. Or if it was Doug Ford saying it, it'd be, quote, step backward, end quote. Current Nexus cards identifying members by a gender other than male or female will remain valid until they expire. I think it's so silly to me.
I don't know why we're doing it in response to whatever's happening in the States. Because that's the problem, is that we are now responding to it. Yeah, it is.
Because that's what we've been doing, just falling in line with what the U.S. wants. Because our elbows are very variable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's why I've got my I've got my trusty elbometer.
Oh, we just lost. Oh, it came back.
He came back with a prop. That's
oh no,
terrible.
He can't hear him. Oh, and now no. The sound's not working. All for a bit that was going to be worth maximum a giggle.
It's like I'm on hold with the CRA.
Can you hear me now? Yes. Hey.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, the elbometer broke my. Broke my microphone. I regret it deeply, I assure you.
Well, that'll teach you for trying to be enjoyable.
Yeah, this is what I get for trying to do prop comedy. This is right. Light exactly. Experience exactly. As a teacher.
Leave it to Carrot Top and Gallagher. That's what I say.
Right. I like how the music just faded away. Just
and know. Everybody knows Carrot Top and Gallagher, clearly my comedy influences.
Just leave it to Carrot Top and Gallagher. That's what I tell the boys growing up, our two kids. I would say that all the time to me.
After the porpoise. Talk.
Porpoise.
Directly after the porpoise talk, because the porpoise talk brought up a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I said, hey, leave it to Gallagher and Carrot Top.
And the porpoises.
That's funny. It was like approximately three people, two of which are here.
I bet you there are people having coffee laughing right now.
Maybe one. Okay, so we have two of the stories. The headline again is Mexican Kayak Attempts a New Gender Policy. Mexican Kayak Attempts a New Gender Policy.
Okay, is the Mexican thing this time the Claudia Sheinbaum negotiations?
Yes, it is, Steve. Steve jumps onto the board with a total of, well, let's see, five times on the board for a total of 1 point. Good for you. Mexico's newly elected president, Claudia Sheinbaum, has stated there is, quote, no need for a separate bilateral trade deal with Canada. The statement came during a meeting with Canadian ministers who are in Mexico to strengthen trade ties. This position is a shift from previous conversations about a potential trade deal in the wake of U.S. tariff threats.
So Sheinbaum's approach has been pretty interesting because she's mostly just let Trump spin his tires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it actually seems to be working pretty well.
I agree. I know that Anita Anand and Francois-Philippe Champagne are down or have been down talking to Sheinbaum in Mexico. And I kind of, like, there's too much panic. I think we're showing our cards too much. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I like Anita Anand a lot, but yeah, doesn't seem right.
Do we still have to call her newly elected? Like, she was elected over a year ago, wasn't she?
Sheinbaum?
Yeah.
No, I think she's pretty established these days, and I think by all accounts, pretty well liked. And
yeah, so we don't have to say newly elected anymore.
I don't know. When is somebody no longer newly elected?
I feel like after a year, like you're.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah, I think a year seems like a long time. I would even do less than that, maybe. But
well, okay. We just crossed 100 days for the Carney government. Are they newly elected? Also, can you believe it's only been 100 days?
It feels like years.
Feels like it's been decades.
Since January, it's felt like years.
Oh, yes. This has been the longest year for sure. But yeah, no, I think I don't like how Canada is. I think you're right with Sheinbaum, is that she has let Trump spin his wheels. She has just kind of been like, a little shoulder shrugging going on, which is like, okay, whatever. Which is, you're right. It might work. It might really work well, because I think the idea of trying to placate him, placating Trump, the idea of trying to make deals and thinking those deals are worth anything is foolhardy.
Yeah, no, I agree. And when we panic and we respond, I think it just brings him glee. And then he goes on to the next thing for us to panic and respond to. Sheinbaum's pretty cool, right? Like, just like, I think we need to adopt some of that. But
how do we feel about Sheinbaum's relationship to Canada? I feel that she is happy to throw us under the bus if she needs to.
100%.
I don't know. Like, the Kuzma thing was basically her just saying, like, we already have a trade deal. We don't need to do an end run around the United States. I don't know. I haven't seen anything to make me think she's going to throw Canada under the bus so much as she's just going to kind of leave us to our own devices.
Hmm.
But if, okay, so this is my question. Because it's Kuzma, does it still exist if it's just us and the U.S. decides to fuck off, for lack of a better term? Because
I think it would just be SEMA then.
So SEMA
trade deal.
Wa-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
It's a division of LIGMA.
Boys.
So Kuzma is up for renegotiation in July, or extension. And the way that works is it only extends if all three parties agree to extend it.
Right.
So there would be, like, if Canada and Mexico want to extend it and the U.S. says no, in all likelihood, Canada and Mexico just break off and extend Kuzma between the two countries and leave the U.S. and negotiate separate trade deals there. I don't think anybody wants that, but that's probably the most likely path forward if the U.S. doesn't re-up Kuzma, which they're very unlikely to.
Well, I'm not, unless something drastic happens. But I mean, between now and next July, if Trump breaches Kuzma and wants to set tariffs for things that are now exempt, what happens to that deal?
I mean,
that tripartite deal.
Trump, for starters, only probably has two, maybe three South Park episodes left. But
if anything happens to him, they're coming to you. You know?
Right, exactly.
I meant before he's impeached, but sure, let's go. Oh. Let's go dark with it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. No,
I'm sure impeachment, that'll stop him in his tracks.
I mean, it worked the first two times, didn't it?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Instant relief.
No, I really do think that if Kuzma falls apart, then you wind up with a direct negotiation between Canada and Mexico. But until then, it's mm-hmm. not really in either of our interests to do it.
To move anything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because okay. I don't think anybody yeah. wants to risk opening up Kuzma early, because right now it's insulating us both from a lot of the tariffs.
Okay. I hope that they're discussing what to do in the event that the U.S. pulls out entirely. I mean, that's the hope, is that they've got contingency plans, which I always hope, and I don't know if they actually do or not.
Yeah, the contingency plan, I think, is basically like give billions of dollars to steel, aluminum, and softwood and hope for the best.
Right, right. Well, that's something anyway. Let's move on to happier stories. Like headline number three. I cannot wait for this one, actually. Headline number three, please.
Make it make sense.
I want to look at the graphic more carefully now. Oh, look at that. That's pretty good, isn't it? Wow. If you're not getting the video at home, you should get the video, because the graphics are scary. They're good. The headline is, Trump's Putin meeting asked for pets at a new liberal fundraiser. Again, the headline is, Trump's Putin meeting asked for pets at a new liberal fundraiser. There's three news stories in the headline. What are they, Steve and Lisa?
So I'm going to jump in because he always goes first.
Yes, please go ahead.
Turn.
Go for it. Get it out.
Nice and.
Oh, she's hesitating. Can I jump in?
No, because
she's hesitating because I called her a turd.
Putin, because who does that as an adult? Putin was meeting with Trump about the ceasefire for Ukraine. No?
Yes, that's correct. I'll give you a point.
Oh, but he looked so disappointed for a second there.
I was
disappointed. The Kremlin has announced that a meeting between the U.S. President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin is on the horizon. Kremlin aide indicated the meeting could take place as early as next week. Two leaders have reportedly agreed to meet in principle to discuss international affairs and ongoing tensions, including Ukraine, of course, as well. That's well done.
Why do I just picture being like, there's so much ongoing tension and just them giving each other shoulder rubs?
Yeah, well, just cool down, baby.
I was going to say they are the cause of most of the tension in the world. So.
Maybe it's just going to be a high five. They're going to come in. Let's talk about the ongoing tension. Hey, all right.
Oh, God. Just vodka and filet of fish is around.
Can you imagine being in a meeting with Putin, though? Because it would be like, I think if there's a chance, can you imagine going to the Kremlin for a meeting with Putin? It'd be terrifying. You'd have to sit like a mile away, the other end of the table.
Stay far away from windows.
You want to be defenestrated.
Right.
That's the only good thing Putin's done, is made me aware of that word. That's it.
Yeah.
Either way, if you're going to the Kremlin or you're going to the White House, it's same but different, right? Like,
yeah,
it's the same vibe. But
the White House is like maximum three stories tall, so there's a chance you just break your leg.
Well, and yeah, Trump chilling on the roof the other day, like setting up his Evita balcony or something.
Yes.
Balconies are never a
good
thing.
Don't
cry
for me, golden sneakers. That is correct. You got 1 point there, Lisa, for the first news story of three in the headline. The headline again is Trump's Putin meeting asked for pets at a new liberal fundraiser. We've got the Trump's Putin meeting.
So
we got to get the other two
is
stories.
Is the pets thing that story about how, this is going to bring the room down. Is it about how there's been a bunch of pet surrenders? Is that the...
No, it's not. That is a very sad story, and I would not include it just for the reason that you just demonstrated right now.
Sorry.
It's a bummer.
That's the only pet story I can think of.
No, that's not it. My God, is Lisa crying?
I don't like pet surrenders. It's sad. Okay, back to the game. Pets.
I can do, can I do a multiple choice for this? And I'm sure I can. Yeah, I can do a multiple choice.
Okay, hit us with a multiple choice.
Multiple choice for which aspect of the headline? Any aspect?
Let's do the pets one and try to raise the vibe.
Okay, that sounds good. Here goes. Why did a zoo in Denmark make an unusual request for pet donations?
Oh, I know this one.
A, to expand its collection of small exotic species. B, to feed its predators in a way that mimics the natural food chain. Or C, to find new homes for unwanted animals.
B.
You say B, Steve?
B
is on it. That's correct.
It was the most bonkers headline. They're like, yeah, if you want to give us your small animals to feed to wolves, that'd be cool.
Oh, it's not just wolves. The Aalborg Zoo in Denmark has sparked international discussion after issuing a public request for pet donations. The zoo is asking for healthy pets that you just don't like, apparently, such as rabbits, guinea pigs, and horses, to be, quote, gently euthanized and used as food for its predators. The zoo defended the practice as a way to imitate the natural food chain and ensure the well-being of their carnivores. I read that news story and I thought, good Lord, that is a tough sell. And who's surrendering?
I thought you meant like pet donations, like donating.
Well,
for
it is pet donations.
No.
Yeah. You're donating pets.
Wait, hold on. Mine about pet surrenders was too depressing, but the one about feeding rabbits to lions, you're like, you know,
yes,
that
because it's
cool.
So heinous. It's so heinous because it's just, they want healthy pets. They're not looking for pets that are on their way out. You're like, listen, is your pet going to be euthanized? If we don't mind, can we have your pet? You know, that'd be terrible. It'd be sad.
We want one that can flee for its life.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, right? Like, is it because they want like to mimic the chase that would happen?
No. They don't, which is the weird part about it. They just kind of, maybe there's going to be a system of ropes and pulleys that'll mimic the chasing, but the animals will be euthanized before.
All this makes me
think. Then why do they need healthy pets?
Well, you don't want them diseased. You want to feed the lions and tigers good food.
Oh my God.
I don't like any of this right now.
Like, all this is making me think of is like, I don't know if any of you had this experience, but like when you're in high school or whatever, and you go to somebody's house and they're like, do you want to see me feed live mice to my snake or like crickets to my lizard? And you're just like, no, I don't want to see any of this.
Yeah. Those weirdos who would have like animals that required like snakes and tarantulas and stuff that require live food.
Yeah.
That was horrible. Yeah, who wants that? What does that do to your brain?
Where are they now? And they always want to show it to you. They're like, you want to see it eat? No, not even a little.
No.
At least with the snakes, if people have pet snakes, most of the snakes are rats and mice that they feed them are dead already. However, the worst, here's the terrible thing. This is going to make you feel great, Lisa. I remember being in a big pet store and this hamster had given birth and the staff went, oh, good, and scooped up the baby hamsters and took them directly over to the snake area.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I would like to edit this whole part of this damn podcast out.
Again, I cannot get over these because this is why we should never trust the Danish. This is why.
I'd like to speak to the manager, please.
Can we still trust
the
pastries?
Never trust the Danes. Of course, because they're delicious. Because they're made up of...
Only if they're made in Canada. Yes.
These pastries come from the zoo? The Aalborg Zoo? That tastes like a healthy rabbit. Or a guinea pig.
I would like a follow-up in a year from now to know how many donations were given to this wackadoo zoo and the names and addresses of all the people that volunteered their pets.
Oh, what a terrible, 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 hilarious story. That's awful. You've got two of the stories in the headline. The headline again is Trump's Putin meeting asked for pets at a new liberal fundraiser.
I think we're going to need a hint on the liberal fundraiser.
Yeah.
All right. Here goes. Multiple choice. What is the most recent significant development in Canadian political party fundraising? A, the NDP outraised both the Liberals and the Conservatives. B, the Liberals have closed the fundraising gap with the Conservatives to its smallest margin in years. Or C, the Conservative Party broke all previous fundraising records.
B.
C.
Who said what? Sorry?
I said C.
I said B.
And B gets the point. Steve gets the point.
There's a cockiness in the way he says that.
So
I say
there
B.
is, but he's
actually, even though we laughed, the NDP fundraising numbers were not terrible. They actually held pretty steady with last year.
No. Okay.
So the NDP raised like 1.8 mil in first quarter, and it was 1.9 last year. And considering they're recovering from getting wiped out in an election, that's actually not so bad. The most surprising one was the Greens. The Greens raised over $1 million in first quarter. The Liberals were like $1.5 million, a little more than that, behind the Conservatives, which is like the closest they've been in a long time. The Conservatives had the most money for ages.
Right. Yeah. It's let's just see here. The Liberal Party of Canada has significantly narrowed the fundraising gap with the Conservative Party in the second quarter of the year. While the Conservatives still raised more, the margin was the closest since Pierre Poilievre became Tory leader, indicating that the Liberals are gaining momentum in their fundraising efforts. The Conservative Party raised $9 million in the second quarter, while the Liberals raised $7.6 million.
And the,
that's a lot of money.
The Carney Liberals have like very far surpassed what they fundraised under Trudeau. Like, turns out Carney is a way better fundraiser.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Whatever. Let's just fix our country and move
stupid
forward.
Stupid country. Well, that's pretty good. Should we tally up the points?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's tally up the points.
Just because it's for fun and it really doesn't matter.
Can we have the TikTok sound? Is that possible to do the TikTok sound? Not the TikTok, the video sound, but the clock sound would be good. All in tallying, that'd be great if you got it there. That's the one. Yeah, that's good.
Put on your green visor.
I'm going to do this four. I'm going to write down the number so I don't forget the number. Okay, that's good. And then I look at Steve's. God, there's fractions involved.
That was my fault.
Okay, I think I've got it. Ow!
Cut it off
the
right
Wilhelm
time.
Scream.
But like only a part just of one. Random.
Just a part. Just a Wilhelm yelp more than anything else. Lisa, phenomenal performance today, this week. Broke out of the gate, lands with a solid 3.
Ooh, okay.
That's pretty good. That was with a -1. I can't remember what it was for, but it was for something. Exuberance, I think, is what I gave you.
It was too -1.
And you were so cavalier about me taking the point. You're like, I don't care. Yeah. Whatever. I don't need the point.
I don't need your point.
Whatever.
Steve landing on his feet, despite 2 -1s for capriciousness and something else. I don't know, just being smug.
General smuggery.
General smuggery. Jewish was an official rank in the army, with a 3. The tie game.
Oh, congratulations. See, like, I want this screenshotted because I was like, oh, that's so great. He's still mad.
I know.
Because I got ripped like off tying on the capricosity. Yeah.
You know what they call tying in Steve's mind? Losing.
Yeah, that's why I'm bad at soccer.
That's that and your inability to kick.
That's a thing you've seen me do.
I'm just guessing.
He's just a floating head. It's hard to
get. I don't exist from the chest down. That's the whole thing.
Just crazy legs from the neck down. Well, there you go. That was a good game. You guys did really well. And please don't get angry at us about the Aalborg Zoo story.
You're going to get some emails,
man. Aalborg Zoo.
Right to the Aalborg Zoo, exactly.
Terrible.
But feel free to enjoy a Danish while you're at it.
Do they have porpoises?
They might have porpoise Danishes over there. Jesus, you never know.
Listen, Steve. Listen, Lisa. Before we wrap up, a reminder. Payroll is the thing keeping this whole dreaming big business alive. From your very first paycheck to lifelong security, there's always a payroll pro making it happen. And they deserve some love. Don't they? Don't they,
Absolutely.
Steve? Don't they, Lisa?
Absolutely.
Yeah. National Payroll Week is September 15th to 19th, and the National Payroll Institute, not the National Porpoise Institute, often confused, never imitated. I don't know how to make that make sense. Wants your stories. The National Payroll Institute wants your stories. Maybe it was a first job, a leave you planned for, or just that one Friday you weren't living on borrowed coffee and good intentions. Post your story with hashtag power of payroll and hashtag contest. Tag the National Payroll Institute, which is just National Payroll Inst, and you could win a $250 prepaid credit card. Plus, every post sends $1 to Food Banks Canada, up to $25,000. So share your payroll story because getting paid matters. Don't talk to Steve and Lisa about getting paid for the show. They don't get paid for the show yet. Without it, this podcast would be just called Podcast is Not Happening.
Podcast is
and
broke.
None of us want that. Podcast is broke. We could even afford the N. It would just be broke. Exactly. Hey, listen, thank you for watching and or listening to Podcast is Broken. We greatly appreciate it. And you can, of course, follow us on your favorite podcast platforms. You can come watch the video as a subscriber to brittlestar.com or podcastisbroken.ca. If you are a paid subscriber, oh, good Lord, get ready for the improvised theme song. It's going to be a banger this week. Thanks so much, everyone. Take care.
Take care yourselves, folks.
Bye, everybody.
You can find past episodes and more at podcastisbroken.ca or your favorite podcast platform.